Hello and welcome to Peace, the podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Peace, a United Methodist community in Shoreview, Minnesota. I'm Jason Steffenhagen, the lead pastor, and each episode will typically start with a sacred story reading coming from the Holy Scriptures, followed by the message that was given during our Sunday morning worship time. Any announcements for our community will come at the end of each episode, so stick around. If you are curious about learning more about Peace United Methodist Community, you can go to peaceumc.com. Again, that's peaceumc.com. If you would like to find more episodes, you can find them on our website or go to our show page, which is peacethepodcast.podbean.com. Once again, that's peacethepodcast.podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N. We hope that you enjoy this episode. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, and now on to the sacred story reading.
So our sacred scripture reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. It's about 8 verses long, so hang with me for a second here. Now the word of the Lord came to me, this is Jeremiah speaking, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to plant and to build.' The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Jeremiah, what do you see?' And I said, 'I see a branch of an almond tree.'" So as many of you know, last week we started a series that we're calling Lessons in the Leaves. Even though there are no leaves yet on the trees, it's better than treasure in the trees. So Lessons in the Leaves, we're taking a look at different trees that are located throughout Scripture and asking the question, well, what could this mean and how could that impact how we go about living our lives today? And so last week we looked at the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And today we're fast forwarding all the way to the book of Jeremiah, where we are going to ask the question, why an almond tree? Why an almond tree? Now here's the thing, I'm going to be really honest. When I say the word almond tree or almond branch, I might accidentally say olive tree or olive branch because they sound similar. And sometimes we say, you know, we're going to offer an olive branch in our, it's kind of like a customary thing that we say in our culture. And so I found myself talking to my dad about this around the fire up at their cabin this weekend. And he goes, "You know, you're saying olive branch quite a bit and not almond branch." And I said, "Dang it." And he said, "You're going to have to figure that out before Sunday." So here's what I'm going to say. You have two choices before you. If I say olive instead of almond, you have two options. One, oh, our pastor's so cute. He keeps messing it up. Or I can't believe he's not professional enough to say the right word. You have a choice to make. I've done both sitting in your place. I've judged people for not knowing how to use the right word and thought less of them, and I wish I hadn't. And I've also thought, oh, that's really sweet. So I'm hoping that you choose the really sweet version of me as opposed to the I wish he could get it together version. Okay. Have you ever, and I know we all have done this, have you ever known that you need to do a hard thing and you've just thought, I don't want to do that hard thing? I know I need to go say this to this person. I know I need to go confront this situation. I know I need to do this hard thing, and I just don't want to do it. Or have you ever been on the flip side of this, where somebody comes and says the hard thing to you, and you know what they're saying is what you really need to hear, but you just don't want to hear it? You just don't. You're like, do you really have to say, I know I need to hear it. I know it's true. I know I keep doing that, but I don't want to hear it from you right now. If you've been in either of those situations, I mean, we all have been in those situations. And sometimes when we're in those situations, especially that first one where we know we have to say something hard, we know we have to confront something or say something or do something that's going to be uncomfortable, it's going to make the people we're in relationship with uncomfortable, we know that it's going to be hard. We're just like, okay, I need something to remind me that I'm doing the right thing. I need something to tell me that I'm not way off here, that the timing's right, that this is going to be okay. I need a sign. I need something to remind me that I'm going to be in the right spot come the end of this. And I think that's what's going on here in the book of Jeremiah. So here's the context of what's happening. I'm going to give you a really quick history of Israel, and then we're going to dive in for a second. So if you like Professor Stephen Hagen, then buckle up. So here's what's going on. The people of Israel were in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. They got led through the wilderness for 40. Then they settled into the promised land. That's the books of Joshua and Judges. Then they finally get a king. That's where we get 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. And so we have the kingship rise up. We have Saul, we have David, and then we have Solomon. Solomon doesn't do so well. The kingdom's going to get taken away from his son, and it's going to get divided into two, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Then what's going to happen is that a few hundred years later, the Assyrians are going to come down from the north and they're going to conquer the kingdom of Israel. So all that's left is the kingdom of Judah, which is the two southern tribes out of 12, Judah and Benjamin. That makes sense? Okay. So basically, there's 2 out of 10 tribes left. They're in the southern region. They just watched all their familial relationship from way back in slavery and all the time in Egypt and through the promised land and everything. They watched them get wiped out by Assyria, and now they're clinging on to their kingdom in the south and in Jerusalem. And they're wondering, are we next? And there are some kings that have come along, and they have done the wrong thing. They've tried to make political alliances. They've tried to marry off people. They've tried to marry in people. And they've tried to figure out politically, how do we survive this? And the whole time, God's like, I don't need you to do all that because I am with you. That's my name. I am the with you God. I'm not leaving you. You have to stay loyal to me, just like what we sang about with the commandments, right? If you hold on to me, I will hold on to you. And so the prophets keep coming along and they keep saying, hold on to the Lord, hold on to the Lord, hold on to the Lord. The Lord will be your strength. The Lord will be with you. And every time they do that, things tend to go the way they want them to go. And every time they think they can outsmart what God wants and they can do it on their own, things tend to go the wrong way. And so we come to this time, this moment where Jeremiah is being called to be a prophet. Now here's the context for Jeremiah. He's coming during the reign of King Josiah. Josiah was this young boy that got launched into the kingship when he was just a young boy of 8 years old. And shortly into his reign, they discovered the law. They discovered the first 5 books of the Old Testament in the temple because the temple had been raided. It had been taken all the gold out and all the silver and everything else. And they found the law and they thought, oh my goodness, look at what this says. We're supposed to follow God. And so Josiah turns them around and says, we need to get on the right path with this. Now, his high priest is a guy named Hilkiah. If I had started in verse 1 of the book of Jeremiah, what you would have found out is that Jeremiah's dad was Hilkiah. His dad was the high priest that was partnering with the king to bring about this beautiful moment of reclaiming the promises of God, reclaiming the authority of God, reclaiming the place in the posture of humility that God is in control and that they have a job to do, and it's to follow the commandments, follow the Lord, and God will be the one to right the ship. God will be the one to partner with them. God will be the one to fight their battles. And so Josiah and Hilkiah are doing the right thing. They're doing the hard work, and they're actually turning the tide in this coming calamity that we know is going to be the exile. And so Josiah is this moment of reprieve. And in the middle of everything going right, God calls Jeremiah. And the word that he gives Jeremiah is, hey, I know it looks good right now, but it's about to get really bad. It's about to get really bad for these people because historically, they've not followed me. The king's dad and the great grandpa and everybody before him were not following. And so, although this is a beautiful moment, it's just a pause before the end is coming. And you need to prepare the people that the end is going to be hard, but I'm still with them. That even though the end is coming, I'm not letting go of them. Things are going to happen that they are not going to like, but I will not leave my people, no matter what. And so Jeremiah is given this incredibly hard message. Of all the messages to get during the time where we are reclaiming our place and reclaiming our relationship, and we are seeing things get better, the last thing you want to be is the one to say, you know, this is just nice for a moment, but it's about to go downhill really fast. We're actually going to get hauled away into exile. And they're like, whoa, no, we're not going to, no, we're doing the right thing. It's like, yeah, for now, but it's going to get bad again. And so Jeremiah is given this really, really hard word. And he doesn't want it, partly because he's just like, I'm too young to, I can't possibly go talk to people older than me, like my dad and like his buddy, the king, and tell them the hard stuff. Like, I can't, that's not my job. My job is to learn and to try to, you know, go to school and try to figure this out and to be patient and to bide my time and to wait until I'm called into leadership. And I can't do this yet. And God's like, no, actually, your time's now. I need you in this moment. And I need you to do the hardest thing imaginable. So Jeremiah, tell me what you see. And Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an almond tree. Now, a couple friends and I were doing this podcast called Searching the Sacred, and we were talking about this, and we were kind of diving into the context and everything. I just got done explaining and wrestling with it a little bit and dancing with it. And then my friend Stephanie just goes, well, you know, that reminds me of Numbers chapter 17. I was like, Numbers 17. Raise your hand the last time you read the book of Numbers. I'm sorry, it's incredibly boring. And when you finally get to the 17th chapter, you are long gone asleep and not conscious of what you are reading. Like, it is not the, you know, it's not Harry Potter, I'll tell you that. So, like, getting, we were on the Zoom call recording this thing, and I said, Numbers 17? How did you pull number 17 out of your hat like that? How did you know? And then she laughed and she's like, oh, Jason, you know how much you like basketball and sports? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, now imagine if you put all the time into reading the Bible that you do into sports, then you would know that number 17 also has something to do with Jeremiah chapter 1. I was like, Steph, I'm a pastor. I talk about the Bible for a living. Like, and we're recording this. You can go listen. And I'm like, that wasn't very nice. And she just laughed and she said, oh, you know, I like this a whole lot. Like, you like basketball. I like the Bible. And I was like, fair enough. So here's the thing. What in the world's going on in Numbers chapter 17? And how does it relate to what's going on in Jeremiah? And why was that comforting to Jeremiah in this moment for him to have a vision or a dream or to be able to see this idea of an almond branch? In Numbers chapter 17, the people are in the wilderness and they are not happy. They have been out there for a little while and they are grumbling against Moses and against Aaron. And they're like, why have you led us out here? There is nothing for us here. At least in Egypt, we had food. At least in Egypt, we had water and supplies. Out here, all of our cattle and sheep are going to die. Our kids are going to die. We're going to die. We're never going to make it to this land flowing with milk and honey that you keep talking about. It's never going to happen. We are stuck here in this wilderness. Why did you do this? And then these guys come along and they're like, you know what? We should be in charge, Moses. And Moses is like, oh, you think so? Really? Okay. And so Moses is like, God, do you really think they should be in charge? And God's like, you know, I don't want them in charge. And so they're like, okay, we're going to actually let the Lord decide. I'm not just going to tell you because I'm the leader. We're going to actually do this in a kind of cool little God way. And so what God tells Moses to do is he says, get a staff from the leader of every tribe in Israel. So all 12 tribes, bring your staff to Moses. Moses takes all 12 staffs, has them in a pile, in a bundle. They're going to put them in the covenant table in the tent of meeting or the tabernacle. And he says, the next morning, we'll see which one of you is supposed to be the leader. And so what happens is they go and they look the next morning. It says, when Moses went into the tent of the covenant the next day, the staff of Aaron, his brother-in-law, a Levite of the house of Levi, had sprouted. It put forth buds, produced blossoms, and bore ripe almonds. So in this critical moment where the people of Israel are wandering around and they don't know who to follow, they don't know who to turn to, they don't know who they should listen to, and they turn to God and they say, okay, God, prove that you really want Moses and Aaron to be our leaders. Show us that that's who's supposed to be it. Show us that these are the people. What happens? The one that sprouts something was Aaron's staff, and it sprouted almonds. And so we fast forward to the book of Jeremiah, and when he's wondering, why in the world do you want me to go do this really hard thing and stand up to my dad and his buddy the king and tell these people that it's about to get really bad? Why are you doing this? I can't possibly imagine that you want me to do it. God's like, I'm going to give you the vision of the almond branch. Why? Because it's going to remind you that when the people of Israel, in their hardest moment, when they were in the wilderness and they didn't know if they were ever going to make it out, I reminded them to keep on the path because they will make it out. They will make it out. Here's the thing about Hebrew words. Every Hebrew word goes back to a verb form. And so even if a word comes across as a noun, like the word almond, for instance, it actually has a root that's a verb. And the root verb for the almond is shakad. Everyone say shakad. Okay, it means to wait, to watch, and to be alert. And so when God gives Aaron and Moses this picture of the almond branch, these almonds that sprout from Aaron's staff, God is saying, I'm watching, I'm alert, I got my eye on this, I'm doing it with you, I got you. And also, I got my eye on you, I'm watching, I'm alert, so lead with integrity. Lead with integrity. Be people that honor the power that I've given you. Second thing about this idea of an almond branch is that the almond branch is oftentimes the first one to bloom in the spring in the ancient Near East. And so in the ancient Near East, the almond branch would be the first one to pop up and to have flowers and to have the seeds come out. And so one thing that may be coming from this is that renewal is on the horizon. That when they give this to Moses and Aaron and the almonds come out of the staff, it's God's way of saying the renewal is coming. Spring is coming. It might feel like winter now. It might feel like nothing's going to happen, but spring is on its way. And to Jeremiah, you are going to go give a hard word. You're going to go tell people this is going to get bad, but I'm giving you a vision of the olive branch. Why? Not the olive branch. I caught myself there. The almond branch. I told you this was going to happen. I'm giving you this vision of an almond branch. Why? Because even though you're delivering a hard word, the end is not here yet. Even though what's going to happen is going to be painful, it's not the end. Renewal is coming. Hope is still on the horizon. This is a blank slide. You all are looking at me like, yeah, we know. We see it. I put this in here because I told myself, you're going to have to tell a story before you close, or you're going to have to figure out how to wrap this up before you get to the end. You have to summarize everything. And honestly, I was like, for the last few days, I've been wondering what to say. I've been wondering how to wrap up a sermon on Jeremiah and the almond branch. How do I close this idea? Now, I can give you the 3 points of closure. I'm going to do that in a second. I have 3 things. I'm a pastor, for crying out loud, and it's a sermon. So, of course, you're going to get 3 things. But the point is, what do we do with this? Like, am I supposed to hear this sermon and think I'm Jeremiah, and therefore I'm supposed to be saying the hard thing to someone, and I have to be reminded that God is with me, even though it's going to be hard and it's going to be tough? Am I supposed to put myself in the posture of Hilkiah and Josiah and the people of Israel or Judah, and I'm supposed to hear something hard and not want to shut it down, not want it to push away? Is that what I'm supposed to bring from this? Well, what if I'm looking for a sign and I'm wondering, you know, I need something to hold on to know that I'm doing the right thing. So as we are hanging out in the cabin this weekend at my parents' cabin, my mom sent my dad with some supplies because she couldn't make it. She wasn't feeling good. And one of the things she sent was a jar of almonds. And I'm like, okay, is that like the Lord's way of telling me that I should say something really meaningful at the end of my sermon and like be a prophetic voice or in the wilderness or so? Or does she just know that my kid likes almonds a lot and eats them before he goes to bed, which is true? I don't know. I have a lot of things to say about our current political climate. I have a lot of things to say about our current religious and spiritual climate. And some of those things I might be willing to get into. But I don't know if seeing almonds at the cabin is a sign that I'm supposed to say them. I don't know if you walk outside and you see a certain color that you're suddenly supposed to, you know, go tell somebody something. I don't know how to read that kind of stuff for you. I think this is really complicated. I think it's a dance that we're in the midst of. I think it's something that we need to sit with for a while and not just, you know, believe because we want to that we're supposed to say something. And so here's what I'm gonna do. I've made a commitment for the next like 10 weeks to gather in scripture circles with other pastors in the cities to talk about power and politics in the scriptures. And we're going to talk about it so that we can then put together a series in the fall to address power and politics as we head into a very contentious political climate. I'm not prepared enough today to tell you what I think about politics and systems and who's running and who's not and all that mess of stuff. I'm not going to stand up here and do that today. But I'm going to work hard this spring and this summer to try to put down thoughts so that in the fall we can have an honest conversation about what it means to be people of faith, people who believe in this scripture, people who follow this Christ, and to enter into a moment like we have before us in 2024. And it's gonna be messy, and it's gonna be hard. And I don't quite know what my voice is supposed to be in that, to be honest. And so I'm inviting you to pray for that. I'm inviting you to share thoughts on that, because I think it's not just one person's responsibility, it's our responsibility, because we are the church, we are the body of Christ, and we need to be involved in what we are proclaiming to the world and what we are putting out there. And so my invitation is for all of us to be in prayer, all of us to be thinking, all of us to be involved in this somehow, some way, so that we can become more of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, so that we can be people of love and justice and hope, so that we can be people who, when we say something, it's honest, it's true, it's meaningful, even when it's hard. And then how can we also be receivers of that when someone else says it to us? Which I think might actually be harder. So let's sit in the midst of this Jeremiah moment of being maybe people called to say something, maybe people called to hear something, and looking for confidence and assurance that God is with us in the midst of it. Because here's what I think we can take away from this moment. What God is saying to Jeremiah is, I am with you. You have a responsibility. Don't run away from it. Do it with integrity. And then hope is on the horizon. I'm not leaving you no matter how hard this gets. And those are three things that I want to hold on to as we think about, as we craft, as we wrestle with how we engage our world in 2024, knowing that the conversations we have around dinner tables, that we have at baseball games, that we watch on TV are going to be complicated and are going to be tough. Let's pray. God, who put the words in Jeremiah's mouth and reassured Jeremiah of your presence through the vision of an almond branch, may you also be with us. May we have the humility to know when we are not Jeremiah, when we are not called in that same way. May we humbly allow for you to speak when you are ready. And God, if you so choose to use us, whether it's in big moments or whether it's in small conversations, God, may we do it trusting that you are with us. May we do it trusting that we have a responsibility to not just say the words, but to live them out. And may we always do all of this with hope on the horizon, trusting that you are not just a God of some people, but all people, that you are a God who wants to bring about love, not just for those that are on your team, but for everyone.
may we be people who see hope on the horizon. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
We got a few announcements for the community. One of them is coming up this coming weekend on the 21st, next Sunday at 5 o'clock. We're doing a family game night, which is just the church family or anybody that you invite. You can bring them. We'll feed them. We'll have some fun together. We'll enjoy playing games, playing some Mario Kart. This will probably be the last one that we do inside, and then we'll start building bonfires and roasting hot dogs and things like that. So this one's going to be inside, the last one, and then we'll be moving outdoors for the rest of these. We usually do these once a month, so keep an eye on the church calendar for more about that. One other announcement I have for you is that today is a Native American Ministry Sunday. The Methodist tradition has different Sundays throughout the year, about six of them, where they highlight different ministries or opportunities to support some of the larger things that the Methodist Church is trying to do, either locally or globally or both. And so one of the things about this Sunday in particular is that we want to partner well with those on reservations and those who identify as Native American or indigenous to this continent, and we want to support their ministries. And one of the cool things about giving to this is that they commit that 50% of what's given will stay in that local area, and the other 50% may go to areas in greater need than this current one. And so I love that we get to both support the global effort, like the larger effort going on in communities that really need it, and we know that some of this is staying in our community to help ministries and help communities right here. So on your way out, either at the table there or at the table there, you can pick up one of these, and there's a little QR code or there's a website, and you can just go straight to that, and that's an opportunity for you to give. Coming up at annual conference, which is the Minnesota Churches of the Methodist Tradition are going to be gathering in May, and we're going to be providing a love offering, and so we're going to have more information about that coming up. If I remember correctly, this year's love offering is supporting Emma Norton, which has been an organization that we've very closely held to our heart and supported over the years, and so this is a great opportunity for us to also provide a love offering coming up at annual conference towards the end of May.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Peace, the podcast. If you would like to learn more about our community, go to peaceumc.com. Again, that's peaceumc.com. For more episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website or go to the show page, peacethepodcast.podbean.com. Again, peacethepodcast.podbean.com. May you experience the love of God, and may you have peace.